Blog Talk Radio.
Effects. It's kind of refreshing. Here we are in the February of 2021. What's refreshing is to be reminded, but through your presence, that we're not alone. There are times when a man appreciates a sanctuary of some sort. Sanctuary of the mind, anyway, of the spirit. A moment to reflect, to savor, to look out at the landscape of what's going on around us, and answer the ongoing question. You know, that scan, just in case something might not be going along as we expect, or in the privacy of our own emotion, is everything right, consistent? And we know that it isn't, and when we apply that emotional maturity, we realize that life is what it is, and we can strive to influence those around us and ourselves. Let's not lose track. The importance of the narrative of our order should not be lost, but it can easily. It's audacious and affirming. Let me stop and look around the broader landscape and take into view a longer history, and we see that it is just like this gigantic ocean. There are times where it is so beautiful and remarkable, sometime when it's just breathtakingly still, and other times when there is so much energy that we can only conclude it must be rage. Is it any wonder? Is it any wonder when you come to terms with the rawness of life around that there are so many people devote in their own way? I know more thoughtful people that are isolated by the din. The din is simply that we haven't had an opportunity to engage. Even the most outrageous character, when treated with respect, is capable of a thoughtful gesture, a thoughtful period, a period of reflection, at least in my limited experience, of course. We search in earnest, and that's, I think, always a good thing. I wonder, though, if I'm about to influence my neighbors, how does that not come across? How do I not appear to be proselytizing? how do I appear not to be the stereotype that I am, that I'm known to be? You know, judging that book by its cover. Well, people do that readily. It's funny that the spirit and the ideas and the mind stays sharp, but the body wearies and shows its age. And there's things that I appreciate in more depth now about youth, the innocence and the frivolity and the casual courage. Just of course, just do it. Don't be thinking about all the things that could happen. Keep focused. It seems so natural. And now I feel what's tugging at my sleeve is that reticence. Mustn't do. Could the consequences be could be calamitous? Here's where I wonder about that moment of pause and reflection. I'm curious, aren't you? I like that adrenaline. I like that calmness that comes when you have that sense of understanding. At least when you can understand that it isn't, the light world isn't about control. Life isn't about control. It's what we make of it, what we think of it, how we interpret and translate it. There is at the bottom of this deep rabbit's hole that we've all jumped into a warren. And each one more spectacular than the other, more interesting, more engaging. Here we have a tally of such amazing things. I grew up in a period where surrealism was already established, the impressionists were there, cubism, as well as the romantic poetry, advances in science, where Newton had, we were influenced by Newtonian thinking. This whole order seems to be that way. Although there are a lot of myths about our and conclusions that seem to be drawn that we are. There was causality, the Enlightenment, and then Freemasonry. Well, there's a few miles of thinking in between those two steps, isn't there? Reaching out, though, is interesting. To be able to acknowledge on whatever semblance of equality we can imagine that there is common purpose within humanity, it seems quite remarkable. I wonder if it is fear of the unknown that drives so much aggression and assertion. Whether a man is bombastic and autocratic, whether he's loud and shrill, the voice is shrill, doesn't change the meaning, may change the perception. If somebody has a valuable thought to convey, I would think that it can be done and should be done in a whisper, almost a whisper, because that encourages listening. You have to lean in when somebody's whispering to you. When you lean in, those billions of little sponges that are in our heads are just sucking in information. What's it mean? What do I say? What do I think? The moment to pause, where you're being drawn to in directions that you never knew were possible. There also comes those moments when you have pause of confusion. And in those moments, here, do nothing. When you don't know what to do, do nothing. I don't say that as if the mind shuts off, but it is that, it's like putting your transmission in neutral in a sense. It's telling yourself just sometimes in order to move forward, we need to pause. It was a good program today. I'm chuffed. I'm pleased that to be in the company, this company, your company. I don't doubt that the accountability of choosing to be with each other isn't significant to me. I think it is. Here. There's the first time we're in our 11th year here at Masonic Effects. Started off as Masonic Home Companion many, many years ago. We now have, we're broadcasting to, we have listeners in 22 nations out there. And none of you can necessarily imagine, I think. I'll just say hello to, or greetings to each nation. Yes, you are the representative, or your crowd are representatives of your nation. South Sudan, amazing, yeah? And Cameroon, Peru, and Chile, and El Salvador, and Belize, and USA, and India, and Australia, and Japan, Sweden, and Denmark, and Netherlands. Listeners from the United Kingdom, Croatia, Ireland, yeah? Republic of Serbia, and Greece, and Oman, and Uganda, and now Spain. And lastly, Canada. Good company. I do hope you enjoy the music. It's not bad, you have to admit. Sit back, fill your cup with your espresso or your single malt or your Chardonnay or your tea, whatever suits your fancy. Let me at least try to entertain and to inform a bit. And today, we're drawing on the brilliance of a poet that many of you may have come across in your journey, Victor Hugo. We're going to get tucked into his very interesting work tomorrow at dawn. Wow. Amazing, amazing figure. Here, if you can sit back a little bit, let me do the work. This is Larry McKenna and Steve Smizer. Thank you. Nice way to start a show, eh? Yeah. Here's a little reminder. It's called The Dignity of Challenge. Just a reminder. The aims appears to be an understanding of self, who we are and what we are. And yet, one moment it's fraught if we allow ourselves to compare. And at another moment, it's exalted because we compare. And others are comparing to us without our knowledge. Measure. How do we measure one to the other? But about that part of creativity and need to know, that desire to know, that I think you own. I think that's the artistry of the human spirit. I don't think there's a science to it, although... We apply our science to rationalize, to be able to understand that what we're seeing, there are patterns that we are seeing. Our experiments to replicate and thereby authenticate, validate our findings. And when we apply it inside of ourselves, it's quite an interesting kind of, it's like, taking that mirror that we so often look at when we're alone and taking it into the carnival house or the circus where there is that house of mirrors, so many reflections. Tell me what you think about this. Of all the oceans of opinion pieces aimed at us each day, those that best apply are the ones that satisfy some part of our own imagination. When the experience of ritual becomes a pursuit of meaning, the background noise actually softens. You know, when you focus in, realizing the clamor is a product of struggle is different than thinking the selection of brethren must be as immature as our companions. Mm-hmm. How else can you explain the clamor? Less likely we are to think the clamorous fulfill a purpose too, but they do, regardless of our principles. Knowing insight, achieving insight, does not come to those who turn away. Is a way we feel violated. Those choleric types continue to ooze whatever and processing. But when we apply our Masonic calculus, the work they will see, at least give Freemasonry the same credit. Yes, it might hold the answers you have longer to find. Yes, it might challenge and cause confusion. But like the divine comedy in a classical sense, the ending is written by you. To be the comedy, resolution is found in the final chapter. The confusion, the tension is released. Not necessarily joy or giggles. What you take away from an art gallery is not determined by others, but by your own observation, your own perception, your own curiosity, your own state of mind. What is the artist trying to say to viewers through the conveyance of paint and brush, chisel and stone? Daunting? Yes. To know, you determine whether beauty is possible, whether you think the expression of honor or fear of conquest has merit or meaninglessness. It has no place. That a symphony, having no appeal to you, has no place in our culture. It just narrows the conversation to a question. What is it that you find worthy? Oh, and there's 7.5 billion of us trying to answer the same question. What should we do with all of those answers? Are they less worthy than your own? Do we accommodate one and not the other? When Freemasonry began expounding liberalism, it did so knowing full well there is more than one form of literacy. Somewhere on that continuum, each one of us can be found. Some better than some, but all different under the skin. Maybe Nishi was right after all. Who knew? Thank you. Good. Four musicians sat down and did that for us.
Yeah. Mm.
John Coltrane, Red Garland,
yeah.
Paul Chambers, and Art Taylor. Just remarkable. And the music goes on today. They're long gone. Where do you begin with the... if you have a such a loathing in your life, if you have, you actually have something in your life that elicits hatred. I don't mean the sort of glib comment, but I mean something that where that has caused your soul to bleed. It's quite different to understand that recess of your thinking and another to live in that recess. One is a bookmark, a revelation of sorts that the laws of probability affect to all of us. Whether we choose to believe it or not, it doesn't really matter. Though it's like mathematics happens whether we believe it or not. Physics happens whether we believe it or not. Because often it's an obscure line, it's a blurred line between understanding and believing. You can understand something without necessarily believing in it. I can believe without necessarily understanding. Mm. But almost to a person, there are people that I have met that are very, very difficult to settle. They have difficulty settling their own mind so that they can connect, and the mind and thoughts are just racing. It's very, very hard. Here, in case we need a small reminder in our busy week, in case we are receptive to thinking that the world has a soul, as the universe and all that's around us has character, And to think that it comes alive when the when poets share their vulnerability, their thoughts with us, with the world, how utterly frightening and courageous that is. None of the bravado, none of that, no. This is a reminder. The work that this fellow left behind is a reminder of an intelligent mind noticing struggle. And the historical reference is very, very interesting. This is Victor Hugo, the third son of a major and later general in Napoleon's army. His parents quarreled. His mother was a royalist. His father had loyalty to... There was this whole process. You can get into it. The convention, the empire, the restoration. It was really interesting. So that did not go well. And, of course, the empire fell, didn't it? So I won't get into the history of France. You do that. You do that at a moment when you can savor it. His mother encouraged him. He could serve to Littera. That's about 1819 he was getting into that. And he had his own articles on poets, Alphonse de Lamartine and André de Chenier. So he was being encouraged to explore people who were exploring the sentiment of the world around, a world that was often seen as cold and ungiving and yielding. This is today one of the best known masterpieces of Victor Hugo, Demain de l'Aube, Tomorrow at Dawn. Yeah. It's considered an enigmatic poem. Now think about an enigma. And of course, the poet takes us on a walk through Normandy's countryside, you know, up in the north part over by the ocean. Yeah. The destination, though, is a mystery. It's like the paths that were so glibly pointed to us. One first imagined a lover's date. Fortunate man. The poem will unravel a meaning much deeper to the poet's heart, and perhaps we wonder to our own. It's a drama. Here, listen to, check this, see what does it draw? What's that be? Tomorrow at dawn, in the hour when the countryside becomes white, I will leave. You see, I know that you are waiting for me. Of course, it's a lover that's waiting, isn't it? I will go by the forest. I will go by the mountain. I cannot stay far from you any longer. Do you remember that madness? Yeah, it's just... I will walk eyes fixed on my thoughts without seeing anything outside, nor hearing any noise, alone... Unknown, the back curved, the hands crossed, sad, and the day for me will be like the night. So he's ensuring that the light is ahead. Here, the last stanza. I will not look at the gold of the evening which falls, nor the faraway sails descending towards Harfleur. And when I arrive, I will put on your tomb a green bouquet of holly and flowering heather. Oh, it's a poem about love, not what you think. Victor Hugo strikes a chord. give yourself a moment to pause. Deep. Let yourself sigh. What we do, how we set ourselves to our work, how we appear from the outside doesn't always reveal that personal aim that goes on inside of us. It's legitimate, nor does it reveal the confusion that can sometimes occur with that. We have an outer man, and the work here, I hope, is for us to consider the inner man. Thank you. little Ben Webster to cleanse the palate. After that taste of Victor Hugo, just a little gelato, and before the cheese board and couturier, and maybe some dessert wine, yeah. There's ironies inside of the idealism of Freemasonry. I've been wrestling with this in the past couple of weeks myself, and I'm sure I'm not alone. Like the idea of us just transcending the distinctions, the social and cultural distinctions and stratification is noble, but in doing that, in drawing attention to it, we also ironically express it. We reinforce these ideas in a way. Because there's differences in education and the way we relax, the some social groups we know will be entertained by reading and theater and art galleries, and others will find that just has no bearing, little bearing, if any. Oh, not to get too high and mighty about it, but it is a distinction. So if you have a group of people just brought together randomly, the likelihood of them being able to find something in common without somebody compromising is going to be very slim. I like opera. He likes the blues. We go back a sense and we can rethink and understand and appreciate the need to sort out in our own thinking the messaging of rhetoric and the reality of it. So we don't lose track of ourselves in this. Here, Jacobs helps us today with the records in Dundee. Give substance to the rhetorical formulations about fraternity and harmony, the stuff of Masonic idealism. Yeah, I think we can agree on that. And that rhetoric turns up in countless lodge sermons and speeches and songs and treatises throughout the 18th century. Published orations in Britain also speak a language that was essentially Augustan, that is, court and Whig. And remarkably self-satisfied and complacent about the joys of order and harmony. And yet, Masonic rhetoric could also reveal the tensions within that liberal and constitutional order, particularly as these surfaced in the 1760s, with the agitation led by John Wilkes against the power and influence of the court oligarchy. His movement appealed particularly to the less affluent amongst the middling ranks. What is true of the British rhetoric will remain true for 18th century European Freemasonry in general, however vastly different in forms and aspirations. In the pursuit of social harmony, the Lodge made porous the boundary between the private and the public. Men of a variety of ranks, and eventually some women, could experience a rarefied and idealized version of society within the confines of a private society. Not surprisingly, European Freemasons, speaking a variety of European languages, were remarkably consistent in referring to the public realm when speaking within the confines of their private rhetorical universes. How much different would we be today? We'll be subjected to social convention, won't we? To the boiling point, the struggle that's still going on, that as we are able to measure that the gap between the top and the bottom is growing. And we don't even like the idea of top and bottom, but we measure the gaps. We know that perhaps it is just idealism that says something's going to give. But then we have ambition and talent and people believing very wholeheartedly that the hundreds of millions are earned, are worth it. That's how we, right now, that's how we put value on things. The market is just as active today as it was back in the time, 18th century, that we're reading about here. And what becomes of that is subsequent to Masons that are aware. I think many of you will be will appreciate a rationalist in the room, not necessarily somebody that assumes that all authority is legitimate, but who weighs and evaluates the nature of authority at the time. And if it seems legitimate, then we obey or we comply or we support. And where we find it is not, just as mankind, humanity has done for millennia, then the effort would be considered illegitimate. It doesn't stop the effort, strong handing and all the rest of that. But we become more articulate and less likely to be controlled. Until we look at each other and simply declare, this is the way we really are. And then we can go on with our ideal life and move on to the next stage. In a way, move on to that next level. That seems to repeat. In fact, it's fascinating. Seems to repeat. What we're talking about here are hindsight. Sit down, move along with your thought fixed. Pick up your hole, set about your work with your thought in mind that hindsight is with us, but seeing it, knowing it, and applying it. Oh, yeah, that's different, eh? Whether you look inwardly and begin to understand the distinctions that were made thousands of years ago about our energy, about our being, or whether you have less metaphoric and more personal sense of our connection with the universe, life goes on. Seems an oversimplification. There are times when ignorance is bliss. But to bring that on ourselves, to impose that on ourselves, that's not possible. Life brings that all too often. This is a music called If I'm Lucky. Yeah, I know. Zoot Sims meets Jimmy Rollins. You've enjoyed the program today. And I hope it's helped to bring out some ideas and thoughts and feelings that have encouraged you and soothed your worried brow. Make the world a lot more interesting by being dramatic little creatures. You think about it, without the drama that we bring, life is kind of repetitious. No, life goes on. You add us into the mix and it's like bulldozers in the Amazon. And then we create things of such beauty. And we just put another spacecraft on Mars. Is it crazy making? Such remarkable science. So many benefits. And yet the other nagging part is we can't exorcise ourselves from this darkness that follows us. Maybe that is that conscious awareness is the original sin. I'm sure so clear that it's not anything to do with gender, but that was an interesting metaphor. The boys didn't have a lot to work with at the time, apparently. Should have sat down and bought a philosopher or a poet a few drinks, and they would have perhaps been pleased with what they discovered. Anyway, Will I see you again next week? I hope so. I hope so. We'll continue on with working on a commentary having to do with insight and disappointment, something like that. Enjoy and commit those acts of random Masonic kindness and be charitable towards yourself. And if there's anything that I can impart today that would be of use, it would be to listen deeply to yourself. I'll see you again soon. Thank you all. Thank you.